Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today, we have a special podcast in response to Microsoft's acquisition of Xamarin. Joining me are the founding partners of Trailhead Technology. We'll have a link to their site on the notes for this show. The two folks who have joined us are Jonathan J. Tower, a return guest. He's a two-time Microsoft MVP in ASP.NET, and he has a passion for excellent software architecture, sharing what he's learned and building the technology community. Also joining us is John Waters, who is an Azure insider and a former Microsoft MVP. He's a technology leader with 25 years of developing enterprise software. John says he's a citizen of the world, or as you may call it, he ain't from here. Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, Jesse. Doing good. Thank you.
Hey, Jesse. Thanks for having us.
Well, I'm glad to have you both here. I said at the very beginning, and I really do want to focus on Microsoft's acquisition of Xamarin. Fortunately, none of us work for Microsoft nor for Xamarin, so we can speculate freely. What's your first impressions when you heard about this?
My first impression is what took them so long. It's been a deal that's been, I think, highly anticipated for quite some time, and it's natural in so many ways. But there's some history in both companies behind why it took a while for it to happen. But I think I'm thinking, finally.
Yeah, my first reaction was yay, and then immediately followed by what took so long. So
both of you see this as a positive outcome for developers?
Yeah. I think it's hugely beneficial for developers and for customers. It's obviously risks with any acquisition as far as keeping culture and keeping the excitement going in the company that gets acquired. Because Xamarin has been on quite a roll. You know, they've built a big fan base of developers, and they've really done extraordinarily well. They've been on the kind of hockey club explosion, and I hope that culture merges well with Microsoft, which is obviously a bigger corporation.
I think that's one of the key questions that comes to mind for me, is whether Xamarin will continue to exist as an entity or whether parts of Xamarin will just be merged into parts of Microsoft.
Yeah, I think that's a good question because, and we're very interested in that as Xamarin partners. And I know, Jesse, you are as well. So we'll definitely have to see how that unfolds and what does it mean to be a Xamarin partner when Xamarin is just a wing of Microsoft.
I could be a Microsoft mobile partner. I could live with that.
A Microsoft Xamarin MVP.
Yeah, but I find it interesting that Microsoft seems to be wasting no time now that they have brought the Xamarin team on board or are starting to do that. They announced already today, I saw, that the Project Astoria effort, which was the bridge for bringing Android applications into the Windows platform, is now being stopped. And they're pushing people towards the iOS bridge that they created, as well as Xamarin. So already Xamarin is, getting the focus.
It's interesting, too, because Microsoft actually has kind of a vested interest in Android, where they do make good money off every Android deployment. So there's a tighter kind of business case at the very bottom. I'm really excited, too, about the financial possibilities where I've been doing Xamarin projects for a while, and their stuff is really, really powerful, but it's also quite expensive. You're talking about $9.99 for a business license for each developer for iOS and one for Android. And then the Test Cloud, which I'm a huge fan of, is also very pricey. It's a fantastic tool allowing you to test your mobile app, whether it's built with Xamarin or not, on a variety of devices, and it's obviously cheaper than buying all those devices yourself, but it's still pretty pricey. So I'm hoping that as these offerings work together, it becomes part of the overall kind of Visual Studio or MSDN or whatever other channel you have for getting your dev tools. Xamarin will be part of that and be more affordable and then reach a much, much wider audience.
Well, if they actually take Xamarin and fold it into MSDN, for many of us, it'll be essentially free, which would be, and free is one of my favorite price points.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens. I mean, we all, were pretty excited when the Xamarin project template got put into Visual Studio in 2015. But I think that's the community license? Is that right? The right name for it? And, it's kind of hard to build anything large or real with that. And so I think that this is pretty cool. Hopefully we'll see things happening in the future here, in the near future, where you can actually be a Xamarin customer because you're already a Microsoft customer.
Right. I think you were referring to, I think the official name of it is the training wheels for Xamarin.
Yeah.
Which is not even, unfortunately, powerful enough to run Xamarin Forms.
Yeah, I made the mistake of trying to play around with that with Xamarin Forms using that license, and you can't even compile a Hello World application, really.
Right. So we may see, especially given Microsoft's tendency to have a fairly full-featured free offering, that they work on the drug dealer premise. Here, let me give you a free hit. So
get the Xamarin Express going.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Great. Well, it's really exciting. I'm working on a project right now where there's one developer using Xamarin iOS and Android to build an app each sprint. He does both platforms in the space of 5 days and adds some feature, and then it's integrated with Visual Studio, whatever the current name is.
Yeah, Team Services.
Team Services, VSTS, and the Git repository there. So he checks it in, and then I can check it out, but he uses Xamarin Studio on a Mac.
Yes.
But I check it out in Visual Studio on my Windows 10 machine, and they both happily share that same project and solution file, and I can build it, I can run it in my emulator locally, or I can deploy it to my real Android device here. And it's just a collaboration that would have seemed very strange just a few years ago. If I'm reading his code, it's in C#. I can give him a code review and give him some advice, and we can actually share. Right now it's PCLs or business objects, but that's something I'd really like to see happen, is as these two teams work closely together, that we get more of a universal format for sharing code among different components of a system, and do away with, the PCL has been a great way to get us through this transition, but there's so many things that don't work in the PCL. I think it's time for the big minds to come together, and together with, .NET Core, come up with a real cross-platform.
Well, tangentially, you raise an interesting question, which is right now there are two strongly overlapping IDEs. There's Visual Studio and there's Xamarin Studio. And there, if Xamarin Studio were to go away, there would not right now be an IDE that you could run on the Mac. You could run it on Windows and then just hook up to the Mac for compilation. But if you're a Mac guy, that's a drop in functionality.
And since we're in dreaming and speculating territory anyway, I'll go ahead and just say this. I think, Jesse, I think it was on your podcast I heard somebody talking about ASP.NET, and you were kind of dreaming about maybe a day where Visual Studio ran, full force on Mac OS.
Yes, please.
Yeah. And they were kind of saying, your guest was saying, that's going to be a lot of work. That's not going to happen real fast. But, of course, we have Visual Studio Code, which is kind of a nice lightweight type of an IDE that now runs cross-platform. And with Xamarin Studio, one wonders if they couldn't maybe start to bring some of those features together into some powerful cross-platform IDE, maybe even more powerful than what Visual Studio Code is capable of right now.
Ah, Silverlight lives.
With the .NET compilers also open sourcing, there's a lot more ways to cross-platform IDEs as well. And all these other projects of running compilers in the cloud, I think the traditional Windows for running kind of Photoshop and Visual Studio is still going to be a powerful scenario, but not the only one.
Well, unfortunately, we're not going to have answers to many of these questions until at least build, if not evolve. Mm-hmm. And so we're in very much a speculative time, but it's also an exciting time. I think that in some ways, it works to their advantage that there's a bit of time in between as people begin to give feedback and speculate on what might be coming and help them tailor the way they're going to position it.
Well, I have a fun project now that's the one I mentioned that has Xamarin components, but it also has the web API that they speak to is a .NET Core vNext middle tier. And so I'm living the world there of working with that technology, and then also on the back end for the build process, there's a lot of things happening. I'd blogged a bit about that recently with the other acquisitions Microsoft has made throughout the years. The in-release acquisition for release management is really exciting when you pair that with Hockey App, which was acquired to deploy iOS and Android. And now you can imagine the backend story where you've got Xamarin Test Cloud integrated into the new Microsoft build with the release management and Hockey app. And I think DevOps is going to see a lot of iteration happening in the VSTS space with all those different acquisitions being merged together.
I was going to say that is pretty exciting. I also wanted to point out too the kind of interesting overlap there is between Mono and the .NET Core. Now, I think that's another interesting area where some synergy is going to happen in this acquisition. I'm curious too on your guys' thoughts about that, but I'm already hearing buzz that, you know, .NET Core is trying to accomplish the same basic thing that Mono is trying to accomplish, although in a different way, and actually by the team that wrote the original, you know, pieces of the .NET framework, and maybe a little more modularly than Mono is. Yep. But then you do that, you talk about that in combination with .NET native compilation, and things get really interesting. There's a lot of overlap there.
Just a few years ago, maybe just 1 year ago, I was doing Raspberry Pi development with .NET, and the way to do that then was to run Mono. And then you could deploy your C# apps to the Raspberry Pi. But then since then we have, you know, the Windows IoT, and now we have the native .NET Core. So there's, you know, now a way to actually have code running on things as disparate as Raspberry Pis and BeagleBoards and Galileos, all the way across to Xbox and Windows and iOS and Android, a Mac and Linux. I mean, who would have thought? What I like about Xamarin's approach to this, though, is, you know, we've seen this before. If you remember Kylix from the Delphi team from Borland, and Java in a way too. They've had these different ways to run a UI on top of different kinds of architectures, but they've always looked hokey. You know, they've been slow or interpreted, or they've been lowest common denominator and not really felt native. And what I really like about Xamarin is that it uses the native APIs and it uses the native widgets, and it is a native app. You can build it with a .NET tooling framework and Visual Studio, but you are building a native app and using, you know, you have to know the underlying system. You have to understand fragments for Android and the lifecycle for Android, and if iOS, you have to know how to use their UI framework. And so you build really compelling native apps, but you get knowledge share in tooling frameworks and quite a bit of code share as well, maybe 60%.
And if you choose to, you can avoid or put off learning all of that and use Xamarin Forms, which gives you a cross-platform, universal, reusable UI without necessarily diving to the native layer, but that produces native code.
Your Forms to me is in that same bucket a bit as Kylix, in that it's kind of native-ish, but I think it fills a gap where you need to build something and deploy it to lots of different kinds of devices, and you don't want to spend all day on the UI, and it allows you to do that quickly, say for an internal enterprise app. But when you get to a consumer app or something that's a bit more polished, there's a lot of loss of control in Forms that that shows.
Sure. Anytime you introduce another layer, you're further away from, you know, directly interfacing with whatever APIs are under that layer, right?
Well, I don't want to interrupt you. It would be easy for us to dive deep into the mud about Xamarin itself. What I want to do is bring our focus back to the acquisition. One of the questions that I have that they have not answered and probably won't answer for a while is what happens to the leadership? What happens with Miguel? Is he going to continue to be deeply involved in this project?
Based on, you know, my limited knowledge of these types of acquisitions, I would, you know, guess that there's something in a contract somewhere that says Miguel is going to be around for a little while, so that Xamarin doesn't just become a headless organization that Microsoft acquired. But that's pure speculation.
Look at Anders Helsberg when he joined Microsoft from Borland. That wasn't an acquisition, but he went there and became one of the shaping forces at Microsoft and a fellow. And I think if Miguel wants to, he could have that kind of career within Microsoft too. Or maybe he's done. You know, maybe his baby is born and he got to where he wanted to be and he has to sit off his time and then go on to something fun.
Well, the podcast that I want to have is to have Anders, Miguel, and Scott Goo in one place. And I don't care what they talk about.
It'd be a long podcast, a lot of questions.
I will listen to that one.